We have a sense of humor. Now, I have here some tracks. I believe there are enough for each one to have one. This is called The Loveliness of Christ by Scofield. I think you'll enjoy reading it. Sometimes we say, oh, the Lord is beautiful, he's this, that, but we don't give any detail. This track, I think, will be helpful. Now, for some time, we've been looking at Genesis 24, and we're still on Genesis 24. Oh, I imagine about 3 or 4 weeks at least that we've been on Genesis 24. But you see, the thing, that is the beauty of the Word of God. Now, you can read Shakespeare and pretty well absorbed all that he has to say. You can't do that with the Bible. There is always something new, something additional. Genesis chapter 24, but we're going to change the subject. We've been talking for a while on the matter of prayer and how the servant of Abraham prayed, and that led us into a consideration of the matter of prayer. Now, we're going to go a step further today. But before we go that step further, we have to have some background reading. So I'm going to ask you to read with me from verse 10. From verse 10 to verse 28. This is background. This is not the subject. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. You'll have to pardon me. But from time to time I see things that I didn't have in the message. Verse 12, O Lord God. What's the difference between Lord and God? And there's a difference when Lord is spelt with all capital letters, when the L is capital and the others are common letters, as we used to say, and when they're all small letters. Three, nice for study. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. But let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, and that reminds me of that portion in the Word of God that said, before they ask, I will answer. As we saw, that doesn't always happen. But it happened here. Came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Now you may wonder why all that detail is given. Milcah, Bethuel, son of Milcah, and so forth. It proves very important to follow these names is given, who descended from whom, and so forth. It gives much light on subsequent things. But we read on. 16, the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. Notice Lord there. How do they do today? What do they call? We used to call these common letters. What are they called today? Lowercase? But listen, again I ask the question, there's a difference in all these, not so much the spelling as in the letters used, whether they're capital or small. She said, drink my lord, and she hasted, and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. When she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. She hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. It came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? She said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provision, provender in some of your Bibles, and room to lodge in. The man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. Thankfulness, gratitude, the Lord answered prayer. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my father Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Now, that's the background. That's the background. Now, verse 29. Rebekah had a brother. His name was Laban. Please note now, Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. Why did Laban run out to the man? You get that in the next verse. So that in some translations, they give you verse 30 before they give you verse 29. He ran, but why did he run? Now, please note, beloved, our subject is priorities in life. Priorities. Now, as we read, you tell me what was upmost in Laban's mind that made him run to the man. Verse 30. It came to pass, when he saw the earrings and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and so forth. Why, what was primary in his mind that made him run out there? That's right. It didn't say he heard her story and he ran out. It said he saw those jewels and he heard what she had to say. But he wasn't interested so much in what she had to say as what he saw. His priorities were on things. Beloved, where are our priorities? On things? Now, things are necessary. We know that. Now, in this connection, I'm going to ask you to turn with me now to 2 Kings chapter 22. And this is going to be our consideration this afternoon. What are our priorities? Things or spiritual matters? 2 Kings chapter 22. Verse 8. Now, beloved, there, I haven't seen it too much, but there is a method of reading, I forget the lady's name, but you read real fast, see? Evelyn Woods, thank you, thank you. Don't do that to the Bible. Oh, you're going to miss something. Now, follow me. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. What did he read? What did he read? The book, now please. That's why I said, Shaphan, the scribe, verse 9, came to the king, brought the king word again, and said, now this is his report, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, have delivered into the hand of them that do the work, and they have oversight of the house of the Lord. His primary interest was money. Now look at the next verse now. Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest gave me a book. Is that in your Bible? But when it was given to him, it was the book. He didn't think much of the Bible. He didn't think much of the Bible. I ask you, beloved, what do you think of the Bible? What do you think of all these other books? You've heard this many times, and I have mentioned it. Concerning Sir Walter Scott, yes. Quite a writer. wrote many books. And there he was in his library on his dying bed. His nephew, who was very dutiful, came in to see him, see how his uncle was doing. And Sir Walter said, "Son, bring me the book." "Which book, uncle? You have all these books around here." And Sir Walter Scott said, "There's only one book." "How about it? Is it a book?" I remember visiting the home of a... I hope I didn't do anything. All right? Of a young believer, her and her husband. And I like to look around, especially new apartments, see what the folks have, and particularly what they read. So I saw this Bible, and I said to the lady of the house, "Do you read your Bible?" "Oh, yes." "How often?" "Every day." "Then why is there so much dust on the Bible?" That was a book. Another book. This is the book. And dust on the Bible means dirt in the heart. That's why so many believers go around, no joy, no satisfaction. They don't read the Bible. They don't study the Bible. The Bible is not to be a book. It should be the book. Now, I have told you of one of my habits. I haven't told you recently. And I got this from a brother when he came, I was just a young fellow, to New York. And he said, the Bible should be so valued that you put no book on top of the Bible except another Bible. Now, you ask my wife. Nothing goes on top of my Bible except another Bible. That's how I feel about it. It is the book. God, the creator of heaven and earth, he took, shall I say, time and the interest to write this book so that we can read it, and we put it one side and let dust get on it. Where are our reading priorities? 2 Kings chapter 5. What are our priorities? Now, we know the story well. This is the story of Naaman. And you know, most of the time in Sunday school, even in preaching, very seldom do you hear anybody talk about the second person here, the second man of importance. Naaman, yes. We all talk about him. Well, what about that other fellow? All right, 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 14, and I've been looking at this week, there's some precious thoughts in here. You know, Naaman was the general, and he had leprosy. I don't know what part of the body, but as long as he had those clothes on, nobody knew. And when Elisha told him, "You go down there, bathe three times, seven times," he had to take those clothes off. And if anyone is to be saved through our Lord Jesus Christ, he's got to take it all off and let the Lord see what he really is. Not so much that the Lord should see, that he should acknowledge what he is. You have to come to... You know Zacchaeus? He was a short fellow, but he wanted to see Jesus. So he got up in the tree. The Lord said, "Come on down. You can't get saved up there." And it is only as we humble ourselves, as we've been hearing in Sunday school lesson, that we can be saved. But let's read. Verse 14, he went down, did to himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Ever notice the skin of a child? Soft. Smooth. That's what happened with England. Now, there are a lot of things being proposed to take care of wrinkles and spots and this and that and the other. They haven't done what Elisha did and what Naaman did. And I don't think we'll ever get there until we get to heaven. And when we get to heaven, believe it or not, we're going to look like the Lord. No more cosmetics. I'm not saying, ladies, please, use your cosmetics. I think you look nice. Use it. But we'll need it up there. Now, I was in a division of surgery. They call it plastic. And I never liked the name, because when you think of plastic surgery, you think of cosmetics. facelifts and browlifts and all sorts of... I did reconstructive surgery. And I'm not interested in cosmetics. I don't expect to win. I've never won a beauty contest. But one day, I'm going to look like a lord. So I'm satisfied to wait for a point in having a facelift and a browlift and all this other nonsense. I'll wait till I look like him. But we keep on. 15, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. Please look, note that. Stood before the man of God. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a gift from thy servant. Well, I'd be grateful. Cleanse some leprosy. I'd be happy to give something. 16. Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. Oh, I like that. Study that. Before whom? What are you standing in front of me? Oh, no. I'm standing before the Lord. That's the way to live. Don't worry about all these pompous fellows around here. Oh, yes, you respect them. The Bible teaches that. But I'm standing before the Lord. I'm not worried about who he is and who he claims to be. Standing before the Lord. Elisha says, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. He urged him to take it, and he refused. Right. Verse 20, but. We heard about that this morning. Our brother mentioned the buts of Scripture. Wherever you find a but, give careful attention. You're going in for a contrast. But Gehazi, servant of Elisha, the man of God. Now, this is very important. He was a servant of Elisha. He saw Elisha when he raised that little child. He saw Elisha when he cured the waters that weren't producing. He had experience. He knew Elisha. He saw what he did. Said, verse 20, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth. Now, why is he introducing the Lord? The Lord has nothing to do with what he's figuring out. But many people do that. If the Lord will bring me through this time. They don't know the Lord. They're not interested in him. They just call his name. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. Then Naaman saw him running after him. Boy, he was in a hurry. He didn't want Naaman to get away. You see all these little things in the scripture? They're interesting. He lighted down from his chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me. Lie number one. You know, I used to wonder, as a youngster, why do you read in Ephesians that we should, as Christians shouldn't tell lies? I said, well, why do you have to tell a Christian that? You know why you have to tell a Christian that? Because Christians do tell lies. That's exactly why it's written there. My master hath sent me. My. And another thing, you know, you have to be careful when you tell lies. Because after you've told three or four, you might get them all confused. So it's best not to tell any lies at all. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of raiment, of garment. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garment, laid them upon his two of his servants, and they bare them before him. Now notice what Naaman did. He laid these things on two of his servants and sent them along with Gehazi. You see, if you read too fast, Evelyn Woods, you'll miss that. Naaman put these things on his servants and said, now you go with Gehazi. Verse 24, when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, that is, Gehazi, bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. He didn't need them anymore. He got what he wanted, where he wanted, and he got rid of them. Verse 25, but he went in and stood before his master. Remember what we saw in verse 15? Naaman stood before Elisha. Elisha said unto him, where are you coming from, Gehazi? Where have you been? And he said, that servant went nowhere. Now, how could you go nowhere and we just saw he was running? You see how these guys, they're going to catch up with him. And when we, beloved, for one reason or another, business or otherwise, tell falsehoods, they're going to catch up with us. We're going to get confused. You wouldn't know what you said to this one, you wouldn't know what you said to the other, and you find yourself in difficulty. Let's read on. Verse 26, Elisha said, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from the chariot to meet thee? Now, is this a time to receive money? Garments? Olive yards? Vineyards? Sheep and oxen? Men servants and maid servants? What were his priorities? Things. Things. Verse 27, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow. Greed. Things. Beloved, they'll get us in trouble. Now, I don't say that you shouldn't have a house. And when we first came down here, I wondered why everybody had a car and some had two. Because I lived in New York City. I practiced 5 years without a car. Get the bus, took the subway, no problem. But down here you have to have a car. And some families of necessity too. Elisha is not saying that you shouldn't have these things, but you shouldn't be greedy and grasp after them. And then again, I consider, how much do you need? Let me tell you, have you heard of Reverend Ike? Yeah. New York. His apartment is on 152nd Street in St. Nicholas Place. I know where it is. 7-room apartment. See? 7 rooms. And what do you think? What do you think occupies those 7 rooms? His clothes. One man with a 7-room apartment filled with his clothes. What are his priorities? And then he goes around preaching. And he distorts the scriptures. The scriptures say the love of money is the root of all evil. Now I've heard it, I'm not telling you what I read. Mr. Ike says, it is not the love of money, it's the lack of money. I tell you, if he were living under the law, he wouldn't live long. Taking God's word and distorting it. But that's where, and you know what the sad thing is? I've met some of his followers, and I mean they were just as poor, and giving their money to him. Now you have another one, out in California. What does he call himself? He's wealthy. Fred Price, yeah. Another one. He has this big car, a big house, all these things, and tell these poor people, if you do it right and give the money to me, you get money. How do you? Now, you must be pretty well demented to believe a thing like that. But his priority is money. Luke chapter 10, please. Where are your priorities? Where are our priorities, beloved? Luke chapter 10, verse 17. 17-22. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. The Lord said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, don't rejoice in this. Don't rejoice that you can perform miracles, that the spirits are subject unto you. Rejoice rather your names are written in heaven. How do you feel about your name written in heaven, beloved? Not written down here. My name will never be in the hall of fame. Does that bother you? My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody, hall of fame. All of that is going to go anyhow. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. They think they're smart. And hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good to thee. Piling up and accumulating for yourself. Now, this one, I'm not going to go into any detail. Judas Iscariot. I'll give you the scriptures, don't turn to me. He was among the 12. You get that in Mark 3. He was a traitor. Remember that? Now, Judas Iscariot was with the 12 and with the Lord for the 3.5 years that the Lord ministered on earth. He heard every parable and he saw every miracle. You'd say, well, that should be enough. But it wasn't. The 30 pieces of silver, a little bit of money, and he betrayed the Lord. I ask you, beloved, what are your priorities? Things or the spiritual? And then after he saw that he was in difficulty, he returns the money, commits suicide, and we read in the book of the Acts that he's in the place that has been reserved for him. Now, oh, there's one more. Demas. Oh, we must turn to him. Let me please skip this. Colossians 4 and 14. Demas. Colossians 4 and 14. Paul is writing to the Colossians, and this is what he says. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Right? Book of Philemon, please. Just before the Hebrews. Philemon, verse 24. Start at 23. There salute thee Epaphras, thy fellow prisoner in Christ. Marcus, same as John Mark. Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Demas was a fellow laborer with Paul. Saw what Paul did. He probably was there when Paul preached long and mutics fell out of the window. Possible that he was there, but he was with Paul, listening to all these wonderful words from Paul. Now, 2 Timothy, please. Chapter 4, verse 10. Demas has forsaken me. He was a fellow laborer. He has forsaken me. Why? He loved this present world. And is departing. His priority was on things of the world. Now notice the situation. Judas was as close to the Lord as one could get. Demas was as close to Paul as I believe one could get. He saw, he heard, and he was with him. He took his eyes off the spiritual things and put them on the things of the world. I ask again, beloved, where are our priorities? Matthew 6, please, verses 30 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, Verse 30, wherefore? If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O little faith? Therefore, take no thought, don't be anxious, don't start worrying about what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall wear. After these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But, there's that but again. Don't worry about the natural things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you get all these other things. Where are our priorities? Is God first? Or does He come after all of these other things that we have? Laban's priority, after he saw those jewels on his sister's hand and wrist and so forth, I've got to get to know this man. The story that he told, that she told, that's all right, but I got to get to know him. I want to share in those jewels. Now, beloved, I am not saying that we shouldn't have things. I dare not say that. But where do they rank in our thinking? That's the point. Luke chapter 10, please. Well, maybe not here. Probably at one of the meetings that we went to recently. Yes. But we know this well, Mary and Martha. Verse 38, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Fine. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was cumbered, or taken up, occupied with much serving, and came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to come and help me. You know, when you think of it, now this is the Lord Jesus, creator of heaven and earth, and she's telling him, she's fussing with him. I mean, that's kind of business. The fuss with the very Lord that created heaven and earth, and she told my sister, come and help me. Now, what was the Lord's reply? Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. And look at your Bible, so I'm going to read it wrong. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the better part. Is that how your Bible reads? Mary has chosen what? The good part. Well, if Mary chose the good part, Martha must have chosen the bad part. Right? And yet, what Martha was doing was necessary. You've got to keep the house clean. Somebody has to repair the meals. It is not a question of better and best. It's a question of where your eyes are. Martha was occupied with temporal things, which are necessary. You have to have a home. The Lord tells us to entertain people alone. You can't entertain somebody if you don't have to have a home and have some food in there and know how to cook it. So there's no objection to having the home. But a higher standard is to sit at the feet of the Lord and learn His word. That's what He's saying. Now, if you will follow through, do you know that by sitting at His feet and hearing His word, and Mary knew more than the disciples that were with him for 3.5 years. You realize that? When she came and poured that oil upon him, the Lord, she do that to my bear. She knows that I'm going to die. You all don't understand it. And beloved, if we put the Lord first and spiritually, it's amazing what He will teach us. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have things. I'm glad to see everybody here. Everybody looks so nice. The Lord wants you to look that way. He wants His people to prosper in temporal things, but don't forget the spiritual. Luke 12, please. Verse 23. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Do we believe that? Now, it doesn't say you shouldn't have food, and it doesn't say you shouldn't have clothes. But he says there's something beyond that. And let us look now at verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. From time to time, I like to look at these flowers, and I'd like to look at this verse. In all of his glory, Solomon was not arrayed like some of those beautiful flowers. I like azaleas especially. You get a group of azaleas of different shades of red and pink and a few whites in there. That's beautiful. Solomon, he didn't come near that. Now, if God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye little faith? He knows he needs clothes. Seek not what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, and don't be of doubtful mind. Now that doesn't mean that you mustn't go to work and you shouldn't go shopping for your food. That's not what he's saying. All these things do the nations of the world seek after. Now isn't that true? They're all trying to see who can have the most money. Money, money, give me, grab, more, 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 more. If it isn't money, it's fame, it's something else. I'm not a politician, but consider the vice president. He's in real trouble. At least that's what the experts told me last night. Verse 31, instead of going after these things, God's going to supply. He knows you need them. Seek the kingdom of God, and you get all these other things. And if we put God first and aim for divine things, it's amazing what he will give us. And for those of you who are in school, you put God first, and I'm telling you, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how well you do in school. Now, I can't tell you about myself. I don't think it would be fair. But if you put God first, you might be surprised. You won't be second in that class either. First Corinthians 15, verse 3. These are just some exhortations as to our priorities. First Corinthians 15. Oh, I like this one. Oh, this is one of my favorite verses. Paul says, I delivered unto you. Now, most of your Bibles say, first of all. Well, that's not the best translation. See, the English language has changed. I deliver unto you of first importance. That's what he's saying. The most important thing, Paul says, Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried, rose again. That's the most important thing that you can give to an individual. Oh, you say, but how about doing good? Oh, no, I'll do it this way. We had a young fellow in the Bible classes many years ago, for which I had responsibility, name of Bible class. He grew up in the meeting, but he thought he got smart. Went off somewhere, and they filled his head with a lot of nonsense. And he came there. Well, the trouble with you all is, all you do is preach the Bible, and you don't support the community. You don't give them anything. I said, now, I want you to answer from what you were taught here, not what they taught you over there. What is man's greatest need? And he said, to be saved. I said, well, that's what we've been doing all these years, telling people that they need to be saved. That's man's greatest need. Now, that doesn't mean that if a man is out there hungry and he asks you for help, you need to be saved. You're a sinner. Christ, no, no, it doesn't mean that. Feed him. Sure, give him food. But if you give him food and walk away, you have not done the greatest thing. After you give him the food and he's able to listen to you, then you tell him Christ died for your sins. That's the most important thing that we can do. And thank the Lord, that's what we do. I think of the many gospel campaigns that we had in New York And this young man tells me, you're not doing anything for the community. Why, we are meeting the greatest need of the community. Where you tell men and women that they need to be saved and that they are sinners. And then I read a piece recently by Mr. Host. Some of you know the name. Of the China Inland Mission. You know what he said? I enjoy the luxury of having few things to care for. Well, doesn't that make sense? The larger your estate, the more you think, more things you have to look at. The smaller your estate, the fewer things you have to look at. He says, I enjoy the luxury of having few things to care for so I can give time to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have things. Well, we better look at 1 Timothy, chapter 6. And you see, you find these folks going around like Mother Teresa, and I'm not speaking against her. Sure, she helped the poor. And was good to the poor. But I wonder, has she ever told them that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins? Paul just said, I can do all of these nice things, but if I don't tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the need for salvation, I haven't done the greatest. I'm lacking. I could say more about her, but I won't. Yeah, I'd say one thing. Many of you, I'm sure, heard broadcasts about her and things that she had to say. On three occasions I heard her say, we are all God's children. Is that in here? Not in mine. We are all God's creation. But you only become a child when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So she meant well, and she was nice. I do hope she was saved. It would be a shame to do all that work and not be saved. But her teaching was wrong. Now, 1 Timothy, did I say, chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. And there are some rich believers, you know. I'll stop again. Is Craig here? Well, he knows, and Brother George knows, Brother Carter, he died a few years ago. You know what he said concerning riches? He said, one reason I strongly believe that God doesn't give many of us much more, if we had riches, we'd forget it. That's why he doesn't give it to us. He's saving us. But there are some that have much. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the uncertainty of riches. Ecclesiastes tells you that those riches can take wings and fly away. And don't we see that today? Sure. But trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, rich in good works, ready to distribute or share, willing to communicate the fellowship that they have. Priorities. Now, there are two tests of what we have as our priorities. The first is the time test. Where do you spend most of your time? Now, there is a new expression, they call it choice time. Thank you. Where do you spend your quality time? Now, you see, you decide that. But that's a test of where your priorities are. Another test of your priorities is your checkbook. Did you know that? Your checkbook tells where your priorities are. I don't have to say any more about that, do I? You check through those return checks to see where all this money went. How much was used for the Lord's service. That'll tell you where your priorities are. I Oh, my, I'm 8 minutes over time. Let's stop. 2 minutes. In conclusion, Philippians 3, verses 7 to 14. Well, this is a wonderful portion. I heard J.B. Nicholson Sr. speak on this portion at the Workers' Conference about 2 or 3 years ago, and it has remained with me ever since. Had an excellent hereditary background. Those things that were gained to me, I counted as lost for Christ. And so far as this earth was concerned, he ranked high. Excellent education under Gamaliel. Oh, by the way, how many languages did Paul speak? It's nice to read that in the Acts. Paul got up to speak, and he spoke in Hebrew, and they looked at him. Then he spoke to the Greeks in Greek, and they looked at him. And he knew Latin. Anybody else? Anyone here? Paul was nobody's fool. He says in verse 7, what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as waste, that I may win Christ. Do you feel that way? Does anybody here feel it? Don't raise your hand. I mean, you tell the Lord. Anybody? All this thing. Now, he didn't say you shouldn't have it, but he says put it in its right place. It's waste as concerning the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be found in him, verse 9, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of faith by God. Now, a man with all this knowledge, and he says in verse 10, that I may know him. Now, if he said that, you know I need that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from the dead, or among the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I was apprehended. That has always, it has thrilled me, and then at the same time, because the Lord apprehended me for a purpose. When he saved you for a purpose. Now, am I carrying out the thing for which he saved? Or for which he apprehended? That's a serious question. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind. Don't sit down and worry about the past. Ask the Lord to forgive you and forget it. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the heavenly calling, the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. One more. This will be the last. Colossians chapter 3. Remember the subject of priorities? Laban's priority was on those jewels that his sister had. Was wearing. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Since, that's what if there means. Check it up in your grammar. No, I'm not too sure, but do they teach grammar today in school? I don't know. But you see, if can have two meanings. And the preferable sense here, since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your mind, somebody say affection, on things above and not on things on the earth. I trust that the Lord will bless us, that we will profit. He doesn't say that you shouldn't have things, but have your mind on things above. Now, I have a few tracks here. I think there are enough that each can have one. And it's called The Loveliness of Christ. One of my favorite tracks. Holy Father, we bow in thy presence. And we are so thankful to be here this morning to remember the Lord. We give thee thanks for the insight and the knowledge that thou hast given us from thy word as to thy will and how we should conduct ourselves. We thank thee for the time of fellowship of our temporal goods. Thank thee for the lesson of the Sunday school, how great thou art. And for that which we have just been considering, our priority. May we put things in their proper place, spiritual things first. We thank thee for the return of those who have been away, a brother who has been in Germany in various parts, the loved ones who have been in Paris, we thank you for keeping them in safety and bringing them back. And as we are about to dismiss, we ask thy blessing. Take us home in peace and safety. Bless us, we pray thee, for the remainder of the day and in the days to come, as we ask all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, beloved, I don't know how you... I've enjoyed it. I hope you have.
Thank you.
Well, thank the Lord.